Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark, and joining me today is Miles via Skype. Hi, Miles.
Hi.
And also joining me is Jackie.
Hi.
Hi, Jackie. We are normally a podcast, a trio of podcasters that watches and records feelings about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. But for a long time now, the TV anime has been off air. So we have had to turn to, not so nice alternatives. What was the word I was looking for? It doesn't matter.
Other animes.
Yeah, I was going to say not so.
We ran out of JoJo content.
Yeah, I was going to make it seem like these were darker, seedier solutions, you know? Like we ran out of.
Is this not nice?
What's up?
You didn't think this was nice?
No, but I pretend that like JoJo's is the best and everything else is crap. This week we watched the Read or Die OVA. It is from 2000 and it was as an OVA.
This was an OVA?
This was an OVA.
Oh.
Yeah. Just home video, I think, pretty much.
How many episodes were left?
No. We saw the OVA. Yeah, that was it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we watched that. We did not watch the TV show. There is a Read or Die serialized TV series that's on Crunchyroll. I don't know if that was one or two seasons.
Is it based on a manga?
It is based on a light novel series, a big series of light novels. But before we dive further into the pages of the animated original video anime, let's tell you a little bit more about ourselves by stopping in a little place called... I said listener library once already, right? Shit.
Maybe?
Gonna take a stop in Pod or Die, also known as Pod.
Listen or Die.
Pretty good.
These are emails that people send us to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. That is how you would reach us, and we'll read your email on the pod, unless you're really rude, in which case we won't do anything. We might call the authorities. So this week, do we have anything for this week?
I don't know, Mark. You are the one who's prepared.
Oh, right. We have an email here from Chad. And the email.
And one from Heather.
Who's
and Talia?
Oh, snap. Good call.
Can't you read?
I'm afraid
have
not.
Have you never checked email in your life?
No. I'm such a fool. What a fool I've been. But if you message me now, maybe we'll fool me again. Who would like
I'll
to
read? I'll read this one from Heather.
Go for it.
The subject line is, call me Heather K. Okay, Heather K. Hey, JJB Pod crew. I'd say I was a long-time listener, first-time caller, but that would be a lie, as I discovered your podcast 2 months ago.
Hmm.
I've spent the time I've been quarantined listening to every episode while playing video games, and it's been great.
Nice.
Which has been greater. I'd like to make some suggestions for other anime to watch, Assassination Classroom and Soul Eater. Of the two, I'd recommend Assassination Classroom more, as I would consider it a nearly flawless anime.
Damn. Wow.
The characters are diverse and well-rounded, and the story is both funny and dramatic. Hope you consider it. Soul Eater is also really good, although it does have its flaws. Mainly the Full Metal Alchemist problem, where the anime was running at the same time as the manga, so they had to make up an ending for the anime that was inferior to the manga end. I believe that's the Game of Thrones problem.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
If you watch Soul Eater, watch the first three episodes to meet the seven main characters, and then watch the Excalibur episode, which is the ninth.
Hmm.
One last thing, I noticed on Twitter that you've been looking into JoJo games. Have you considered the fan game, The Seventh Stand User? It's an amazing game despite looking like a Game Boy era game. Look it up, it's worth consideration. There's even a sequel in the works that takes place during Diamond is Unbreakable. Keep up the great work from your biggest Oregonian fan. Thank you, Heather K.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. Someone did bring up The Seventh Stand User. Is that what it was called? Sorry, I have the brightness down on this laptop so it doesn't die. So I can't quite tell what it was, but if it's The Seventh Stand User, yes, someone brought that up. I took a look at it, but I did nothing past that. But it does seem popular, and now I know that's true because two people emailed us about it.
I don't know anything about Assassination Classroom, but I'm interested.
Yeah.
I like classrooms.
You do like classrooms.
And death.
You read Drifting Classroom.
Is it anything like Drifting? It's probably nothing like Drifting
and
Classroom.
And you liked Death Note. So right there, you've got
Classrooms death. And death.
It's true you like those things.
This might have nothing. This might just be, you know how sometimes Japanese anime is like, it's called something and then it's what it's about is something completely different.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yep. Like JoJo's. I mean, there's nobody named JoJo in it. They don't go on an adventure and it's normal.
You're wrong. JoJo's is accurate.
Okay.
But like, some of them aren't.
I was mistaken.
And in Drifting Classroom, it's the whole school that drifts.
Yeah.
It drifts away to another time space.
Wow.
They're talking about driving, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The classroom's like pulling the emergency brake and skidding its back end real far. Yeah, I put Assassination Classroom on the list.
Cool. What about Soul Eater?
Okay, you said that like you were joking, but I have no idea whether it's drifting or like driving or
no, like the classroom like floats through dimensions or something.
Yeah, so Drifting Classroom, which is a different thing. It's a manga that's really good. It's horror, but it's about one day a school just disappears. So and everybody in it, like the kids all go to school, and the school just disappears, and what's left is like nothing. There's like a hole there, like it was like just picked up and placed somewhere else. But where it actually is like a weird, like that you don't, it takes a while for you to even understand what's going on, but like the kids and the teachers are all like, where the fuck are we? And they are like, it's like a deserted place with like scary creatures. It's like very dangerous. It's like if you were like on another planet or something. And so it's like a bunch of kids trying to survive and also get back home. Can they get back home? I don't know. It's scary. So yeah.
Yeah, that's written by Kazuo Umezu, right?
Yes.
Yeah, who also wrote what is this? Cat-Eyed Boy and Ultraman? No, he must have just written part of Ultraman or something, because Ultraman is that insanely big TV show.
I don't think he didn't do that.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Would have heard of this guy before. Thanks for writing, Heatherk.
Heatherk.
Let's see. What do we have next? Oh, we have Talia. All right. Got some line breaks. Love it.
Thank you
and this
for
is,
the line breaks.
This subject is writing this while listening to the pod. That's a bit of a red flag. So y'all brought up Red Riding Hood and the horny wolf who wants to, quote, eat Red. Anyway, y'all might have already heard about this. It's a manga called Tokyo Red Hood or Tokyo Akazukin. It's eroguro, so technically hentai, but I would not consider it hentai because, well, if you know eroguro, then you know what I mean. Okay, got it. Anyway, if you're into eroguro, it's not as intense as other eroguro works. It's about Little Red Riding Hood looking for Mr. Wolf so he can eat her. Oh, okay. So she's like a vor protagonist. Cool.
Vor?
Vor is the fetish that you want to be eaten alive, I think.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, like herbivore, carnivore.
But you want to be the it's like a meivore.
Well, yeah. It's a
But you want other people to be that.
What is carnivore? Is that Latin?
Probably. It's like probably. Devour.
So like autovore, but you don't want to eat.
You want to be eaten.
Yeah, this is tricky. Latin speakers, write in and tell us how you traveled in time to 2020. On the topic of talking tumors, this is from our Vampire Hunter D episode from last week, which you can find at anchor.fm/JJBpod. The main character has a talking hand. Something similar to the talking hand on Hunter D happens in Lucy, Daughter of the Devil. The devil has a tumor removed, and the tumor starts talking and shit. Funny things ensue. So I guess it's not that similar? Yeah, it's not a lot of laughs to be had in Vampire
Hunter.
Doesn't
sound like it.
Yeah. Postscript. If you think I wrote this email as an excuse to bring up eroguro and Lucy, Daughter of the Devil, well, you're right. Postscript. Every time I close my eyes, I'm just as horny as when my eyes are open. My horniness is unconnected to the states of my eyes, whether they are open or closed.
Cool.
Thanks, Talia.
For the listeners that don't know what eroguro is, Miles, do you know what that is?
No.
Can you take a guess?
Maybe it's like soft core hentai? Mm. I don't know.
It's not that. I wish it were.
No. So it's like, I think gudo means like gruesome or something.
Gore.
Gore. Yeah. So it's
or,
like.
Or no, you're right. You're right. Gruesome because it's gudo. Yeah.
Or gore. But it's like, it's like hentai, but it's not, it's like gross. It's like gory. It's like people are getting killed
like
and
people
stuff.
Are being mutilated and stuff.
It's like you cut off somebody's head and they give you head. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, you know that kind of stuff.
You know, so it's like kind of scary, like, and gross.
No. It's totally comforting to think about what you just said. It brings me inner peace and I feel warm and fuzzy.
I have enjoyed it in the past, but it's
you fucking
more
freak.
like when you watch something horrible, like body horror and stuff. It's like the same as like watching a scary, gruesome thing. But there's also like sex in it. So it makes it extra fun and weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big one, the guy that people know is Kago Shintaro.
Yes.
Or Shintaro Kago.
Yes.
Who we have some art prints of.
Yes. I like him a lot.
Because it's cool. I mean, you know. It's
he's
like
very creative. His stories are very creative.
Like a girl's head blows up and inside is like, you know, her brain and blood, but also other girls and like some festival ribbons flying everywhere.
Well, those are just like, that's the regular art. That's not like a.
Right,
the comics don't really
plot.
Do that. Like, yeah, the comics are not as they're creative like that, but they're not
as fun,
as complicated altogether.
Right. Because it's yeah, because those are just for style, and you have the time to sit down and work on it as one piece of art rather than an entire comic. But yeah, it just does really crazy stuff. Yeah, it is very 18 plus though.
Not safe for kids.
Not safe for anything.
Not safe for work.
Yes, that's true.
What do you want me to read?
Chad.
Okay. This message is from Chad. This email is from Chad. The subject line is of Dampiers, Robots, and Bibliophiles. Aloha, JJB Pod. I write to
Aloha.
You. I write to you as a man a little older than he was the last time, but probably no wiser.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Chad.
Happy birthday. Bam, 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 bam.
Bah, 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 bah. It was great to hear you all enjoyed Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. For a lot of us old school anime fans, the original 1985 OVA was excellent for the time, but seeing what director Yoshiaki Kawajiri and the talented folks at Madhouse could do made D and his world so much cooler the second time around. Also, I agree with Bloof that the novels are worth checking out. By the way, you all should watch Ninja Scroll for sure, but also two of Yoshiaki Kawajiri's old other classic OVAs, Demon City Shinjuku and Goku Midnight Eye, and are currently free with Amazon Prime if anyone is interested. I tested my own Google Home, and she really seems obsessed with Creep by TLC. Thank you, Chad. Your efforts reminded me of a neat party game called Hey Robot, which recently got a free edition online. And Chad links to this Hey Robot game. In sad JoJo news, RIP Keiji Fujiwara, the voice of Eishi Dishi, along with some very significant roles in some major series and a crap ton of smaller parts. Speaking of voice actors, here are all of the Rod and JoJo connections I could find. Sorry to intrude on one of your things, Mark.
That's okay.
Drake Anderson, the blonde guy with the black beanie, is an enemy stand user, ZZ, stand name Wheel of Fortune.
Oh.
From part 3. That's it. That's the list. Besides some seasoned veterans, a number of the cast only have ROD OVA and ROD TV, along with maybe one or two other anime to their credits according to websites, myanimelist.net. I hope you and anyone else that managed to watch the Read or Die OVA enjoyed it. It's long been a favorite of mine, even though I've long since gave away or sold my original DVD. I just wish there was an easier way for myself and more people to see it now. Mahalo, Chad. P.S. Every time I close my eyes, I just can't get over how much the ROD theme song is one of the best spicy theme songs ever, and I hope Mark managed to put it in the podcast opening. Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad. Hopefully I did, right? At the time of this recording, I am doubtful that I'll be able to find it, but it's probably
on
YouTube.
Do you know how to do that, Mark?
How to do what?
You can do it. You could figure it out.
I'll figure it out. Keiji Fujiwara, who did AC/DC, we mentioned him last week because he was the voice of the creepy Cat's Cradle Shadow guy in Vampire Hunter D, and he just died a few days ago.
That's sad.
Rest in...
Pillar Men? Rest in Pillar Men.
Yeah, that's good. Rest in Pillar Men.
Rest in Pillar Men. That game Hey Robot that Chad linked to, I just briefly looked at the article, and it's apparently kind of like Taboo, but you're trying to get your smart assistant to say the word without using the word. So you just yell to your Siri, Alexa, Google in the room, and you compete to see who can get it to say the word.
That's hilarious. But you're talking to your real Alexa or whatever.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Cool.
That guy, Keiji, also had a big part in Crayon Shin-chan, small part in Cowboy Bebop. Oh, wow. A lot of Crayon Shin-chan, which was huge. Dr. Stone, DBZ, Detective Conan. Wow, yeah. Literally a pillar of the anime voice acting industry, I'll say. I don't know if there's a community. But, yeah, I will say I didn't really see... I just looked at one or two of the actors for this work, this OVA, and I did not see them pop up in pretty much anything else. The main character did do the TV show voice as well, though. So that's good, because I like this voice actor.
Is the TV show recent?
No, it was like 2 years later. It was like 2003, 2004.
Okay.
Yeah. They called it Read or Die, and they died. People chose not
to. I feel like I would like that better.
A TV show?
Yeah.
Nah. You're crazy. Okay. I enjoyed watching another OVA. But anyway, before we dangerously move on to topic, I also want to say that we have a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JJBpod right now or anytime for the foreseeable future, you can help us make this podcast because, listen, it's annoying to make this podcast. That's it. I could have said it's challenging, it's hard. It's not hard. It's, it can be frustrating sometimes. Like, you guys know how I burp and fart all the time in recording. I have to edit those out. So... if you go to patreon.com/JJBpod, you can just give $1 a month. That's actually helpful, believe it or not. $3 a month means I will read your list out loud on the podcast, which I will do momentarily. I will read your name out loud. Yeah, you send me a list. If you're like, these are my top 10 toilet papers or whatever, like, I don't know. You could do that.
Your top 10 Shrek movies.
Give us your top 10 Shrek movies. And how are the other six? How are they Shrek movies despite clearly not?
It's like the other ones are like other green characters.
Right. Flubber. Monsters, Inc. You got Flubber.
Yeah.
Any Gumby movie.
Uh-huh.
Really. Slimer and Ghostbusters. I think we've hit 10. Miles, do you have any green animation or green stuff?
Green movies?
Wait. Is Inconvenient Truth
Piccolo
green?
From Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, Piccolo, yeah. Any DBZ.
The Muppets. Kermit, it's not easy being green.
That's true. He knew the value
of
being green. So for the $3 people, I want to say thank you to Tyler, Tim, Michael, Martin, Kevin, Christian, Chad, and Austin.
Thank you.
For giving us the goods.
Thank you.
Paying for our Crunchyroll and podcast expenditures. We'll never make back the money we spent on this podcast, but we'll all have the memories. You know what I mean? Also, I don't do it very often, but I will sometimes stream on twitch.tv/JJBpod. I'm trying to get us into that watch party thing with Twitch, where we could just watch anything off Amazon Prime and watch it with an audience. That would be fun because it's low effort and we could actually watch anime. There's some Amazon on Amazon Prime. What? There's some anime on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, Chad just mentioned two things.
Oh, snap. I don't listen to people when they talk, when they email.
Come on, man.
Are there any Amazon original animes? Do you guys think?
No.
Hello?
Oh, I said man. No.
I'm going for it. I found a list. 1 second. Oh, shit. I'm sweating. They have two. They have Crayon Shin-Chan spinoff. It's called that. And they have Blade of the Immortal, which I've actually heard of. Looks like it's an old manga. And yeah, it's an Amazon-only streaming thing. That doesn't mean we're going to watch it. It came out last year, but we know at least there's some anime out there on Amazon Prime. So if that ever happens, we'll tweet that out on our Twitter, which is twitter.com/...
What is it, Mark?
JJBpod, just like it is everywhere except our email, which is JojosBizarrePod. I've said that enough times. You have no excuse.
I've never needed to tweet to us.
Oh, no, I'm yelling at the listeners.
Oh, listeners, tweet to us. You do need to tweet to us.
Yeah. Emails are better, though.
It's also in my Twitter bio. You can link from there.
Nice.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, what was this anime about that we watched?
All right, this
anime... What was it about?
This anime was about teaching us how to read, and it turns out we know how to do it.
Do we?
Did a reader tell us to watch this?
Yeah, this is
Chad's
pick.
I mean, a listener.
This is Chad's pick.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Chad.
Yeah, Read or Die is a 3-episode OVA. They're about 45 minutes each, let's say, that is no longer available anywhere, unfortunately. I had to dig down some internet backstreets to get this. But it is based on a series of light novels by Hideyuki Kurata, who's written 12 or maybe 13 of these books so far. And there's a manga that's based on slightly different material in the same universe called Read or Dream, which feels like a slightly more difficult choice. You know, Read or Die, I'm like, fine, I'll read. Chill out.
Mm-hmm.
Read or Dream, like, I don't know.
You might want to dream.
You could do both.
How can you do both?
You read a book and then you dream about it at night.
I feel like they're kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that seems possible.
Reading and dreaming. Reading is like reading someone else's dream. You know, like or reading is like experiencing someone else's dream. And dreaming is your brain being creative by itself.
Huh. I guess that's true.
And dreaming is your brain writing its own book.
Nice. It's not very good, though, because it tends to vanish by 24 hours. You're just like, I don't know what that dream is about.
Mm-hmm.
The writer, Kurata, also wrote screenplays for the ROD TV show, Excel Saga, Magical Project S, Goblin Slayer, some things we've heard of. But yeah, really prolific when it comes to the ROD stuff. It's like 12 or 13 light novels. This is a year 2001 OVA. We regret the error.
Right, what did you say?
3/9/11, right?
I said 2000. You know what? I'm going to say no, Miles, because we see the Twin Towers in the first 5 minutes of this OVA, actually.
That's why I said pre.
Oh.
Mark doesn't know what words mean.
I'm still learning how to read. I might die. Good point. So, I don't even know when the light novels first came out in July. Wow, I guess so it was popular pretty fast. Because, they've been going since 2000, the latest one. Okay, it was like 2000 to 2006 steadily. Then there was a 10-year gap, and the 12th one came out in 2016. He at one point said there will be another one, but as of yet, no dice. So the show is weird. It has more to do with reading and books than I thought once I looked into it the first time. But when I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be about a teacher. And it was going to be an academic sort of slice of life kind of thing. I don't know where Die came in my brain there, but.
So it's about this made up agency called the British Library Special Engineer Force.
It's like a Japanese spy show with books. That takes place in the Western world, but it's very Japanese feeling.
Yes.
But yeah, because the main character is Japanese.
Half Japanese.
And their main agent. Oh, okay. She's half Japanese.
Yep.
Okay.
And half British.
Okay.
Because of course.
Interesting.
Right.
But it's just weird. It reminded me of that Seinfeld episode where they there's the library detective, Detective Bookman.
I don't remember this. I never saw that episode.
The library sends a detective after Jerry because he has not returned a book in a timely manner.
That's great.
So maybe libraries do have enforcers like this agency.
That's crazy strict. But I don't quite Probably think not. It's like this. Look, yeah, so it's about, I don't know what, this show, it was,
I don't know.
It was not obvious to me. I don't understand a lot of what happened in this show.
Me either. I don't understand the ending. Me neither.
It was, that's why I think I would like the TV show better, because maybe they would explain these concepts a little bit more and give you some more background.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was like super stylish, but I had no idea what was happening.
Yeah.
I liked the style. I didn't like the bad guys. I liked the main characters.
I didn't understand the bad guys.
I liked the ladies' friendship.
Yeah, their friendship was nice.
I liked the main character a lot. Yomiko, whose last name is Reedman, which is upsetting. It should just be Redman or Reedman.
Yeah.
Or something. Reedman.
It's Reedman.
No one does that.
There's Detective Bookman from Seinfeld.
So yeah, it seems like they're a government agency, a secret one that tracks down like important historical manuscripts or something.
But other people also want the books.
Right.
So they try to fight. They fight.
And fight they do. Yeah, so the thing is,
why did they need the books?
I don't know. Like, they didn't tell us.
I understood why they needed the Beethoven book, because it had the secret notes that would cause everyone to kill themselves.
Yeah, the Suicide Symphony.
But, like, why do you need a giant governmental force to chase after books?
I don't know. I mean, I guess in this case you do, but I don't know. Is it like, does this happen a lot in the books, in the light novels? Is it like, oh, all the time there's people that can do crazy, horrible things using old books? Otherwise, you would think it's just like, yeah, this is the OSS or whatever it is. No, MI5, like going to find this one weapon that happens to be a book, or this one instructions on how to make a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're looking.
And also all of the bad guys have like special powers. They have the resources to launch a rocket. Like, they don't need the book to kill a bunch of people if that's what the goal is.
That's a good point. It's like, if they need a book to make a powerful weapon, don't also give them like mechanical insects and electric jetpacks.
Yeah, they could kill a lot of people.
And energy swords.
But this guy, he was trying to make everyone commit suicide with the Suicide Symphony.
Yeah, we were saying like, why?
Because he's trying to get rid of any useless people.
Yeah.
And the useless people will all kill themselves, apparently.
Yeah. He said it's like,
he's not trying to like massively murder everybody in the planet.
I mean, that's what that is.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I thought it was like more selective than that.
Well, he said it's not. He was like, this doesn't, you find this all out in episode 3, by the way. You do not find this out early enough, that it does not discriminate, which I was like, well, that's nice. That anybody hearing it will just stab themselves, which we see three people do, or, you know, they cover up some of it, but yeah, three people that work for the library, kill themselves. The show is like mostly cute, especially with like the main character being kind of clumsy, ditzy, mostly cares about reading books, but then there'll be adult moments where like that guy's head came off. It was a little jarring. But I like it all. But then the people...
I like the...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I really love like the first 10 minutes of the show. Like, there's not a lot said, but you learn so much about the paper immediately. Like, it was just good, like, showing and not telling.
I don't quite remember. What happens?
She's just like walking around buying books, and like her apartment is like a total shithole. It's like piled up with books.
Oh, the paper. And, you mean like the character Yomiko?
Yeah, you just like immediately see how like absent-minded and obsessed with books she is. It was really cute.
I thought you meant that you learn about like the physical paper material a lot.
No.
I was I guess you do.
Her code name is The Paper. And yeah, her apartment is just books. She just goes around buying books, and one of the stores that she goes to outside has a sign that's like, our best customer. I don't know if it was outside, but
it was like, it was like, our best customer, please say hi to her.
Yeah, please be good to Yomiko.
Yeah, and all of the bad guys, bad people,
they're Ijin.
They're part of the Ijin, at least these people are, which I don't know what that is. And they're all, but they're all historical figures.
Like, are they?
Yeah. At least one of them's like a samurai named Gennai. And Miles, did you catch the Dragon Ball connection here?
Yeah. So a lot of Dragon Ball borrows from like the legend of the Monkey King.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Which is like this Chinese fable, and it, like, the guy in it has a cloud that he flies around on and a stick that stretches out super long, and Goku in Dragon Ball has those same weapons.
Does Goku breathe fire, though?
He does not breathe fire.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute, I did not expect that.
Me neither.
Also, the big bad guy is EQ Sojin, who was a, according to Wikipedia, weird, eccentric, iconoclastic Japanese Zen Buddhist monk and poet. He had a big impact on Japanese art and literature with Zen attitudes and ideals. A little weird to make him into a bad guy asshole. But
all the bad guys are books, I guess.
Yeah, apparently, like, the reason why everyone, like, rides bugs or uses bug machines is because the first bad guy or whatever, or the guy who blows up on the Statue of Liberty, I think, is based on Jean-Henri Fabre, who is a French guy who wrote a bunch of stuff about books. And then again, they blow him up. So we learn, like, later that people are clones.
Mm-hmm.
Are these all clones? Or did Beethoven come back, like, did Beethoven live for hundreds of years only to try and kill everyone? Because that's Beethoven.
I think they're clones.
Up in the rocket playing on his piano, it's Beethoven.
That was Beethoven?
Yeah.
Oh.
He doesn't die. He just gets, like, bummed out.
He probably dies, though. That rocket does not. I don't think it really lands safely.
All right. I don't really get it. I like the style. I like that it's very stylistic. The opening looks like old school Japanese art. And then it has, like, the spy.
Oh, did it? It had some of that
I don't know.
Style?
That's what it looked like to me. Maybe it was. Maybe they were going for something else, but that's what it reminded me of.
Got it.
I don't know.
What did we think of, like, the character designs in general?
I liked the designs of the characters. Overall, like, the face drawing style is not my favorite. It just felt, I don't know, very simple. It felt very kind of boilerplate anime looks.
Yeah.
Are you asking about...
I liked how...
Go ahead.
I liked how Miss Deep would, like, flip her hair and stuff after doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
I found that very stylish.
Her hair was very very whooshy.
Yeah.
But I thought Gentleman, who's the head of this secret agency, he's like an old man with long gray hair and, like, a robot eye. Looks like he's from a totally different anime.
Yeah, and also, why is this, like, old guy who I think looks Japanese, if I recall, why is he the head of the British Library Service thing?
I don't know.
You can't have it
when
both
he should
ways.
Be like a wizard from space.
Ah, yeah, he looks like one of the guys in the "All Your Base Are Belong to Us" ancient meme from around the same time. What was the bad guy's name? Katz? I think the guy's name was Katz in Zero Wing for the Genesis. If you don't know about "All Your Base Belong to Us," it's very corny now, but at the time it was the bee's knees.
It was a very early internet meme.
Yeah. It's a vintage meme.
Mm-hmm. A classic.
If you have the original Flash file,
it's been retired.
It's millions of dollars if you sell that to a meme collector.
Wow.
So I've been told. So, and we don't know why these characters have powers, right? Do they ever explain this?
No.
Okay. So the lead character, her codename is The Paper. So you get to hear all these characters say, "The Paper," like
"The Paper,"
50 times, which is pretty good. It's like a really lame version of the world.
Yeah.
Like you're invoking the just most boring stand. It's paper.
Yeah.
Her name is Yomiko, which is a name, I think, but literally Yomi is like the root of the verb Yomu for read. So it literally is the Japanese verb read. So she's like read girl.
So her name is Reed Reedman?
Read girl. Yeah. Read girl, because the ko is like for a girl or a kid. Yeah. Read girl kid. Reedman.
Read child.
Get out of here.
Reader.
Yes.
Reader Reedman.
So she can manipulate paper at will into hardened objects. So she could take a bunch of pages of paper or something and string them along into like a big machete.
And she controls the paper, so she can make all of the paper, like, she can throw paper up in the air and then make it, like...
a blast shield.
Like, zero in on you and, like, attack you as if they were throwing stars, you know?
Right.
But, like, she makes them move. Like, she can move them with her mind.
Right.
And harden them.
And nobody explains this to us. No one is like, yeah, but, you know, that's because she's a mutant or we trained her in some psychic martial art. Nope. What's Miles?
And she's like otherwise a very clumsy person.
Yeah.
But I think it's cute that she carries around a little like piece of luggage filled with like sheets of paper.
Yeah, there's probably other ways she could really carry that, but
that's the thing too. Like her power can't really work on its own. You need paper. And she can only manipulate paper.
It's a very wasteful power. Unless she recycles, I don't know.
Though I guess if she was a bad guy.
I don't think she does.
If she was a bad guy, she could steal people's money.
Yeah.
Maybe this is her way of recycling, you know?
Yeah, reusing.
Give me all your discarded paper and I will use it.
Yeah, it's not like she goes to Staples and buys like those bricks of paper. We assume that she doesn't just carry that. She's probably reusing books that she already read.
Yeah.
Or something. But yeah, in the first episode, there's like a rocket or something coming from the bad guys who like, all we know is that they tried to kill the president of the United States.
Yeah, why are they doing that?
I don't know. And then this rocket or something is coming at her, and she just like kind of runs her hand over the paper and lifts it up into like a blast wall behind her, which was really cool. But when I first saw it, I thought it was like an accident or like that was the beginning of her power. Like someone was going to be like, how did you survive that? What happened? But then she just kept doing it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I don't know. To some degree, it's better that way, you know, because...
it's a simple stand. If it was a stand. Let's say they all have stands. This is part of the JoJo's universe.
Yes. Obviously it is.
Sure.
It's in some ways, it's better than just having someone like say a bunch of explanations to you or taking 10 minutes before getting into the action because we have to do an origin story. But it's also nice when you understand the rules of a piece of fiction so that you get rewarded for knowing what comes next, or like when something new appears, you're like, oh, because of the thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so JoJo's does that, even though it violates its own rules a lot. You know that someone has a stand, and as you're watching them, you're like trying to figure out what their power is and how it's linked. When people just have powers, you're like, oh, okay. I guess anything's possible.
It's less about the powers and more about the mission, you know? I mean, yeah, they have powers because they're spies and shit. Why not?
Yeah, once you're a spy, you just have powers.
I got the sense that it was only her and Miss Deep who had these powers in the agency.
That's a good point.
Because otherwise, why would they only send... you know what I mean? Because Drake Anderson doesn't seem like he has powers.
Yeah.
It seemed like the paper was like the main dude.
Yeah, she is like the super strong one. Even though she definitely seems like a liability because she really cares about the books... and gets distracted. Like when she's reading a book, one thing I like that they show is that everything else is like off for her. She cannot pay attention to anything. She zeroes in on the book and she cannot be distracted. Reminds me of someone.
Me!
That I live with.
When I'm focused, I'm focused. You can't break it.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing most of the time.
Well, it's bad if like if the house was on fire, that would be bad.
I think you would notice because it would at least you smell something, which usually wakes people up.
Yeah.
She also is kind of like the character from the Twilight Zone episode, the banker who's always reading paper.
No.
Who's always reading paper, always reading books.
No, she's not.
Well, she reminds me a lot of Burgess Meredith.
Well, he just reads books.
But he loves them so much that he doesn't care that like when the world blows up, he's like, oh, but I can read books now. I have time to read books. I won't spoil it for you. But it's not that simple, Twilight Zone.
What? There's a twist in a Twilight Zone episode?
They don't all have twists.
Oh my god.
So
a lot of them do.
That's true. A lot of them do. Here's the thing. Okay, you said like they only send her and Miss Deep, whose name is also Nancy.
Nancy Deep.
Miss Deep is her code name, and she gives this code name right after her giant boobs are like three quarters of the way out of her costume when we see her in her costume. And she calls herself Miss Deep, and I was like, oh my god, of course. But then she's like, I don't like that nickname. I was like, oh, I like that. I like that someone, that little detail that someone has a nickname, but is like, it's not my favorite.
And her power is that she can deep dive into the world. I don't know. She just goes through things.
Yeah, they say that she turns into liquid or something, but she, it's very hard to tell because she can go through things like they're liquid, but then she can also let things pass through her as though she's liquid, which to me, I was like, so you're invincible if you're focused, because it seems like sometimes she does get smacked by things. And so I guess she has to like really concentrate on specific parts of her body.
Mm-hmm.
But that shit is confusing.
Right. Well,
is this the same power as Kitty Pryde from the X-Men?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, kind of is.
I can't remember if Kitty Pryde is as powerful as Miss Deep, though, because Miss Deep seems pretty powerful.
I don't know if Kitty Pryde can go into people. She can definitely go through walls and stuff.
I forget what her mutant name is, like her X-Men name is.
That might be it.
Is it Miss Deep?
No, I don't think it was Miss Deep. I get the feeling they probably shied away from that kind of thing in an Americomic. Americomic? My mouth just doesn't work. She occasionally uses the code name Sprite and Ariel for Kitty Pryde. But it seems like mostly she just goes by Kitty Pryde. Ooh, and she predates Miss Deep, so explain yourself, Kurata-san. We'll wait. So here's the thing. She, spoiler alert, is a spy, but I was like, okay, I understand a double agent, but at some point in the show, the library Secret Service people are like looking up who is she. Like, the guy who runs it is like, hey, do research on all these people. And the secretary lady, Wendy, is like, got it. And she's great. She's also clumsy, also wants to do her best. And then she comes out later and she's like, oh, the real Nancy Makuhari died such and such years ago. And I was like, do you guys know who you work with? Did you hire this lady, or did she just show up with her big old cans and start working alongside Yomiko?
Yeah, like, where'd she come from?
Right, because we see her in the first episode. She really wants that German book, and then she's working with her.
Yeah.
And
it must have been another manager hired her. Like, she was there before Joker started, and he was just like, okay, I guess you're on my team, too.
Yeah, like, but the previous manager didn't write any, like, summary feelings about who this person is or their strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
Well, they're a new hire. She's a new hire.
But hired by a
different manager.
So I don't know. Did the main guy feel that there were leaks and he was like, research everybody? Because I think the picture he gave the secretary did have Yomiko on it. Apparently in the books, Miss Deep says that she doesn't like the codename because it, quote, makes her sound like a porn star.
It does.
Okay.
She dresses like a porn star. She dresses like a dominatrix. I think I wrote down, I called her the dominatrix because it's just kind of what she looks like.
Yeah, it's a little weird to be upset that you have a porn name, but then also have like the most revealing outfit on, like, the planet.
Skin tight and like, how does that even stay on you? It's like suctioned to your boobs.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
Amazing.
Okay, I looked up the Ijin. The Ijin, the bad guys, are artificial humans based on DNA from exceptional figures from history.
Mm.
In many cases, their genetic makeup was augmented and complemented by cybernetic enhancements, giving them enhanced abilities. Okay.
Cool.
That makes sense. So they, like, I guess they resurrect the samurai because he's a great samurai. They resurrect, but they also resurrect people for thought. So that French guy who's into bugs, they're like, you can help us make bug machines.
I see. So they want to just kill all humans because humans are useless and they want to take over, I think.
I don't know if that's their mission or if it's just the main guy's mission.
Okay.
The guy, what's his name? EQ.
So is Miss Deep, is Nancy based on somebody?
Yes. Nancy is based on Mata Hari.
That's what he calls her.
Yes. Mata Hari was a Dutch exotic dancer and courtesan who was convicted of being a spy for Germany during World War I and executed by firing squad in France.
Wow.
Yeah. Whose name really was Margaretha Gertrude MacLeod. What?
Cool.
Whatever.
I see. So she was a... what's the word?
Spy?
But she was treacherous. She was an agent. She was a double agent.
No, because she was Dutch, but worked for the Germans. Oh, I see what you're saying, because they're on the Allies.
But she was pretending to be...
Not the Allies.
She was undercover, basically.
A secret agent.
Yeah, a secret agent.
Oh, okay.
Because she was an exotic dancer, but she was spying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily make her a traitor, although...
Right, okay, fine. She's not a traitor, but she's not who she seemed,
I
guess.
She is a traitor, though, because I think the Dutch were against the Germans in World War I. Miles, help.
The Dutch were against the Germans in World War I, yeah.
Right. I don't know if that's true.
And the book that they want is German.
That's true. Yeah.
That's it.
I don't know anything about the Dutch.
Yeah, not many people do.
All right. Okay, so there's like book dudes and they can ride grasshoppers and make beetles do things and shoot lightning for some reason.
Yeah,
cool.
I don't know what's up with the lightning. I'm looking now at the list of historical figures in there, and there's another German guy named Otto Lilienthal who helps create the gliders and stuff, because in real life he was like a flying guy. He did a bunch of plane shit.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool learning this history about stuff. It's similar to how JoJo has musical references, except these aren't just references. They're literally pulled in.
Yeah.
It would be like if JoJo had AC/DC and they started playing Back in Black and that made you die. But the song was a little different. You know?
Hmm.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, it'd be exactly like that.
Yeah. I'm pretty smart. I figured it out. I did the transplant. Let's take a break and stretch our legs. And we're back. So, yeah, it won't do us any good to go through every beat by every beat in this OVA. I think we covered a lot already. But here are some minor things that I noticed. In the first episode, I think toward the beginning, like after they blow up the White House... Did we mention they blow up the fucking White House in the first episode? How dare you? Also,
they also
make
the president the worst guy in the world. Like, he pisses his pants at one point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I didn't even realize that was the president. I won't lie. The first episode, I was nodding off a little bit. But I was like, did this guy in orange just piss himself? And evidently, it was the president. Yeah, this show doesn't really love the U.S. And I liked that. I thought it was funny. In the beginning too, when they're flying in, or at some point they look, I don't know, something happens and they show like the map of the US and they show them flying over New Jersey, and I was like, yeah,
woo!
New Jersey, baby. Come get a fat sandwich at Rutgers. And then we see the Twin Towers and I was like, okay, so that's when this was drawn. Got it. I wonder if this show would have been bigger. Maybe they were like, coming out September 12th, read or die. At one point, I don't know what it is, if it's just a shop that Yomiko's going into, but it says DVD, CD, and LD, which means Laserdisc.
Whoa.
And I know that Laserdiscs lasted longer than most people think, because there were some good things about them, but never seen it etched into a shop window.
Speaking of technology, it seems like a lot of the technology seemed kind of old. Do you notice that?
Like a little steampunkish, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Was this steampunky? It seemed steampunky.
A little bit, yeah. Like the timer that EQ, the bad guy, had.
Yeah.
And even the timer on their fortress, I think, had like an analog style number system.
And one of the bus guys in the in the library.
Joker?
Is that his name, Joker? He had I don't know. He had like a little remote control to look at the TV that looked really like
steampunk-y. Oh, yeah, on his desk, yeah.
He had a couple of tools that looked steampunky.
Yeah, I didn't put that together. I don't know. Maybe this is all like, maybe if we read more books, we would know. You know, certainly if we read these books, hopefully in 12 books, this author has explained this shit.
Also, there's a scene where they, there's like a radar that's like looking around for one of the bad guys and it targets over New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was talking about.
When?
But I was saying the map and they fly over New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And yeah, when they're in New York, I think, did you see that red bridge, Miles? Because I was wondering what that was supposed to be. Or do they ever go to San Francisco in the first episode? Because there's just like a red-looking bridge. And I was like, what are you guys?
Maybe it's England.
I don't remember the red bridge.
Yeah, it's true that I did not know this was supposed to be in England until, I don't know, maybe after the first episode? Because Jackie and I were both nodding in and out a little bit. I won't lie.
We were sleepy.
It's not the anime's fault. It was
Leave us alone.
Last night, we pumped a bunch of sleep gas into the apartment.
We were so sleepy.
It took me a long time to figure out. Like, I watched the entire first episode and I was like, are they British? Is that what this is?
Yeah. And it's interesting.
So it's not always clear.
Yeah. And I looked it up later and it turns out she's half English, half Japanese, but she has a weird speaking voice too. I was a little wondering if maybe they were trying to make her have an accent, but she speaks kind of slowly and she draws out all her words. And one thing that this character does a lot is she has like kind of that stumbling voice where she's like, like when something is falling or she's not sure what's happening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cute, but it's a little excessive later on. But I decided I did like her. I think she has a good sense of friendship, and being clumsy is always endearing. She likes reading books, but she's also extremely powerful. She's not like a dumbass who just happens to be an agent. She does seem like a huge liability, though.
It feels like they probably shouldn't let her fight.
Yeah. Like, I think she's too good.
They should just let her read books, you know?
I think the problem is that they're after books and she can manipulate paper. So it works out really well.
Yeah. But she can't even like pull books towards her. That would be useful in this profession.
Yeah.
She can't even be like, book, now. Yeah. My book.
Jackie's extending her hands like she's being telekinetic.
Yes.
One thing that made this feel very 2000s, besides like the occasional use of CG that had like no texture, but they had a lot of break beats on the soundtrack, like a lot of big drum tracks of like, doom, doom, ba, doom, ba, doom, ba, doom, ba. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's how the opening theme was for one thing. The opening theme was very breakbeaty.
There was also a lot of classical music. She, like, in the beginning, she hums Ode to Joy.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Which is part of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which they later play before they talk about the Suicide Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think Beethoven's Suicide Symphony is on Spotify?
Hmm.
I don't know. Don't listen to it if it is.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Okay.
But after they first play one song, they play Für Elise, which is another Beethoven song. And then when they start to play Ode to Joy, they play it in like, and like, this is when the Ijin take over all the airwaves and they're just pumping that music into the military base. It has a breakbeat over it.
Mm.
Like it's Beethoven's ninth, but it has a little, and I'm like, wait, did you guys create a clone or a robot of Beethoven, and was it just that he like looked around and was like, what's music like these days? Like, they want me to do number 9 again, but let me check out some Chemical Brothers, some Massive Attack. There was also a song that sounded exactly like a Massive Attack song, called Angel. The song's called Angel, and it's been used in a bunch of movies from that era. And I swear to God, they use the exact same thing in this show.
Is that trip-hop, that genre?
Yeah. Well, Massive Attack is definitely trip-hop. But they're all sort of loosely connected by that big drum track. And yeah, it feels like a lot of them feel like they could be good hip-hop instrumentals. Mm. And I like a lot of that music. I mean, that music was definitely around at the right time for me, being in my teen years. you know, watching The Matrix and listening to the soundtrack, watching my friends learn how to breakdance.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to talk just about The Matrix for a second.
Go ahead.
I just happened, for some reason, I wanted to look up, because the new movie's coming out and The Matrix is on Netflix right now.
Wait, there's a new Matrix coming out?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm completely blindsided by this. That's interesting.
There's a new Matrix coming out, but
it should be a prequel.
I wanted to look up, like, what the heck, because I don't remember anything about what it meant. So I looked up all these summaries to explain what it meant, and it didn't make me like it more. I didn't think it was good.
You mean like the metaphor of it?
Yeah, I wasn't satisfied, just as I was unsatisfied after watching the movies.
Well, it's Christianity, right? There's a lot of Christian metaphors.
Yeah, pretty much. But even like just understanding like squarely what happened in the plot was confusing for me, even reading it.
Really? I thought it was, well, okay, so we're talking about all three Matrix movies, right?
The Matrices, yeah.
Yeah, see, I only really consider the first one worth it. Although I at some point would like to rewatch the second two, but God, I hated them. They were such a letdown.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I feel like the first one was good.
It was
great. I understood it. And then the second two, I was like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, they really tried to get into like a backstory, a mythology, and it had the same similar sort of problems as the Star Wars prequels, where it's like, yo, just make a movie. Don't try to bring in 20 extra characters and shit. Don't do all this world building. If you're going to do that, like Star Wars, just do what they did and have a bunch of people write books. Expand the universe separately. But don't be like, here's 20 dumbasses standing at a round table. and they all look like music video participants for trip-hop bands. Something I neglected to mention last week, by the way, is that the Wachowskis, when they made The Matrix, one of their influences was Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust, what we watched last week.
Nice.
And they liked it so much that the guy who did that, who did Ninja Scroll, Vampire Hunter D, etc., that Chad was just recommending stuff by, that he has at least one, if not two, sections of the Animatrix, if you remember the Animatrix from 2003, which also includes a thing by the Cowboy Bebop creator. That had some cool stuff in there. I gotta rewatch that one with, it had like a martial arts and an Asian lady, and it was all realistic looking CG, and I remember at the time everyone being like, wow, that looked amazing. It looks better than the actual live action second and third Matrix movies, and I hope that we watch it now and it looks like fucking Dead or Alive 2 or something.
Yeah,
like, just shit polygons.
Yeah. Looks like Tomb Raider or something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. Well, look, I think the Wachowskis have not made too many great movies since the first Matrix, but I respect them.
They made that show that people like, right?
Sense8.
Yeah, I saw Sense8. It was okay.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's very weird.
They did V for Vendetta.
Did they?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that was them.
They take chances. They do some interesting things. And I welcome their next project, even though I have not seen Cloud Atlas or Jupiter Ascending. Are those both of them?
I don't know.
I may have made them
anyway. Up. Let's talk about the show that we watched.
What did we watch? Oh, that's right. We watched my brother Raymond.
I want to talk about the friendship between Deep and Paper. The Paper.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Deep Paper Cuts.
Is it gay baiting?
It straight up just felt gay to me.
I think so. I think it is gay baiting.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Drop the knowledge on us.
I don't know. They love each other. But anyway, so when they meet, they are kind of frenemies. They're kind of enemies.
Yeah, frenemies. That literary concept.
But then they help each other at the end, and then so Deep's whole thing is that she, you know, she goes through things or things go through her, and so when Paper goes to like touch her or shake her hand or something, it just goes right through her. But then at the end, when they like help each other, Deep reaches, extends her hand for the paper to grab onto it. And the paper is like, I'm skeptical because it's just going to go right through, you know. But then Deep grabs her. So she, it's like, I don't know. That was like a moment for me because it's like, oh, they like trust each other and they want to help each other. And then Deep reveals her name is Nancy. And it's cute. And then the next episode, Nancy braids her hair, braids the paper's hair.
Yeah.
And compliments the paper's bookmark. And then the paper is like, oh, you can have it. And it's just, she's like, I give this, you know, sometimes I give bookmarks to my friends. And so it's like, they're together. They're like friends. They're so cute. But they're very close. And they kiss.
They don't kiss, do they?
They don't kiss.
Hey, wait a minute. I was like, what? I didn't miss that. Well
Miss Deep kisses her on the neck.
Yeah, but I think
felt a little bit like a confirmation.
I think that was an evil clone. I think that was the evil clone version.
It was an evil clone. But yeah. If you're like kind of in a relationship flirting with one person and then their evil clone takes it a step further.
No.
Are you in love?
They love each other.
You know? Okay, confirmation from Miles.
Because the paper is also like, she would never do that. Like, I don't know. They're so cute.
That's true. She knows her well enough that she's like, that wasn't her.
Yeah.
And it was like annoying when she's like, I want to see her again. I'm like, you guys are enemies.
Yeah.
She's a spy, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, not really. She was a spy.
But it was the evil clone.
She was a nice spy and the clone was for real evil.
There's also a good conversation that they have where... Nancy Deep is like, would you rather, she's basically like, oh, I don't read romance novels because I'd rather love in real life, even though it's not happy.
Right.
It's usually,
in real life, it's more complicated, not always happy.
Yeah. And then she asks the paper, she's like, would you rather a, you know, happy romance in a book or a real romance that's sad or tragic or upsetting or whatever, or doesn't end well. And then the paper thinks about it, I guess, and then comes back to her like a couple scenes later and is like, I have an answer for you. So that was cute.
Did she ever tell her answer? Did she? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Both of them are like, a real romance is better, even though it's sad. It's the paper said, in a real romance, you're the main character. You're always the main character.
Right. Yeah, she did say that. And she's like, also real romances, you can sometimes date the lady who's liquid and has short blue hair.
Yeah.
And Nancy's like, are you talking about anything specifically? No, that didn't happen. But it should have. How did Miss Deep survive when she's first thought to be killed? Because they flip-flop with her so many times.
They didn't kill her.
Well, it's like you think that she's a bad spy, and then it's like there's a clone, and then the clone kills her.
Yes.
But then she comes back and you're like, is it the clone?
The
and
clone
it's like,
doesn't
nope.
kill her. The clone just kind of stabs her and then she sinks into the ground. But she can do that because she sinks into the ground.
Oh, okay. I thought they were implying that they killed her.
No. I knew that she was still alive. I figured because in movies, if you don't see someone like die, they're not dead.
But she got stabbed and then turned into liquid and fell through a boat.
She got stabbed and then she fell deep down into the bottom of the sea. But her clone made a comment that was like, oh, damn it. I should have gone for the heart or something. I should have killed her. Like, I don't know. She said something like, I should have gone for the heart or something about confirming her death.
Yeah, she said something like that. Yeah. And then she's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's good. I guess instead of having someone do that and never comment on it and the body's left somewhere and then they come
like,
back.
Well. It's there's nice. A chance.
Yeah. Okay. But for me,
I fucked up.
For me, the timeline is like, this lady's weird. What's her deal? Okay, she's a friend. She went on missions. She helped.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she's going to die when she's fighting that Son guy. Sorry, you guys don't get that reference. Son is a character in a Capcom arcade game based on the same thing that Goku is based on. Whatever. She almost loses to Monkey King. And then she looks like she's going to die. She doesn't die. And it turns out Yomiko stayed at her hospital bed all through the night or whatever. And then they're friends. And then her clone is evil. And then we see her clone maybe kill her. Apparently, it was obvious that it didn't really happen, according to Jackie. And then the clone comes... No. Then we see Miss Deep again, and she fights the clone. And then we don't see them for a while, and then Miss Deep appears on the rocket and seems like she's a bad guy.
She fights her clone. Did you say that?
Seems like she's a bad guy.
Okay.
And then betrays the other bad guy. So you're like, okay, this is the real Miss Deep, and she is alive. This is great. That means that if I watch the Read or Die anime TV show, that she will be there. Because I liked her. I didn't want her to die and go away. And then she's like, I'm going to die on this rocket. And I was like, what the fuck? And then they're like, or she said something like, I should see this through to the end. But then Yomiko's like, we should leave together. And she's like, oh, okay. I was like, okay, good. And then she tricks the paper Yomiko into jumping off without her and stays. And so I was like, whoever made this OVA, do you want, is she alive? Like, what do you want? And then at the very end, sorry, when Yomiko jumps off, somehow Miss Deep leaves her a note that says, take care of my little sister. And at the very end, there's sort of this epilogue where someone in the agency is talking to Yomiko, and Yomiko's like, how's Nancy? And they're like, well, you know, she lost a lot of oxygen. You know, her brain didn't get oxygen for a little while, so she might have some lost memories, but she'll go to court when she gets out of here. And then Yomiko...
Like, she's going
to
be on trial or something.
Yeah. And then Yomiko meets her, and it looks like Nancy. And again, that she was calling her Nancy, right, in a previous conversation? Didn't she say?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, Miles, do you remember that conversation?
Yeah. Isn't that the clone?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking she's a clone.
You think it's the evil clone?
I think she's a clone.
Okay, so... And so she just called her little sister. Oh, because if you're a clone, then you're a younger version, technically, because you come after someone.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that she said, take care of my little sister, because she like knocked out the clone and left her on in like the fortress?
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is the evil clone. Okay. That makes sense.
Got it. And so the show, the OVA, whatever, the book conveniently had it so that the clone was a bad version of her, but... Because she was knocked out for a little while, she's good now.
She loses her memory.
She lost all the evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that we know is she likes origami butterflies and does not question that they're actually literally flying like live bugs. Because at the end, she's trying to make origami, and of course Yomiko can manipulate paper, and so she goes up to her and makes a butterfly out of it.
Oh, and Nancy says...
And that's how it ends.
Nancy says, by the way, the reason why she wanted to stay on the rocket and die there... She says something like, it would be impossible to face an eternity of loneliness. So she wanted to stay, even though, like, her boyfriend was an asshole, she wanted to, she couldn't live without him, basically,
right.
Which is sad and stupid.
She could have dated Yomiko instead.
I know.
Yeah, she should have done that.
Unfortunate.
Maybe her evil clone were, but is it, is
were?
It?
What'd you say?
Is it, Bert, is it, rarer? Is it ethical to get to know someone and then they die and you date their clone knowing all the things that you know about their source material person?
Oof.
Or is that like Groundhog Day where you're like, cool, you don't like fudge, you don't like white chocolate because you know that you're going to see them with their memory wiped and you're going to be like, I naturally know these things about you. It's like we're matched by fate.
I think it's okay.
You think it's okay?
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're all the same person anyway.
Yeah, it's probably okay.
It's like you're a different person. I think it's like you're a different person, but you can date another person that's similar.
But what if you know things about them?
What do you know?
They're
clones,
I guess,
but they're
depends
not the same.
On, yeah, it depends on how the person feels.
Well, I'm saying like, I mean, if you tell them what happened, then yeah, it's probably fair. They have the info.
And if they're skeeved out by it, you know, that's on them.
No. If they're skeeved out, you got to go find another fish in the sea.
Yeah,
the
that's
metaphor.
What I mean.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like, that's too bad. We're still going to date. Yeah. I love, there's one tiny detail in this show that stuck out to me was, I think it's, what the fuck is his name? Not Joker, the other blonde guy. The guy that goes out on missions. What was his name? Brian?
Drake.
Drake. When he gets up at one point, he's talking in the middle of, like, while he's standing up from sitting on the floor. And the voice actor, like, grunted with him, like, he's talking. And he's like, anyway, so we should get back out there. Like, I love that the animation was standing up. So he grunted as though he was, like, in the middle of a sentence talking, standing up. Thought that detail was really cool. I wonder if it's a common thing and I just never noticed it. Yeah, the whole spy aesthetic, it made me think of, like, other modernish shows that try to be that kind of 60s American or British spy show thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a little bit of The Kingsmen that came out a few years ago. Or, well, there's, like, remakes of The Avengers and stuff. But, yeah, especially with the big, brassy sort of spy music that's reminiscent of James Bond. But imagine James Bond where there is no section where M explains to you or Q explains to you how everything works. Instead, you just know how it works.
It would have been nice if there was an origin story. They should have added another episode that was like in the beginning that was that.
Yeah.
Maybe there's one in the TV show. Is it on Crunchy? I'm going to watch it.
It's on the Crunchy. The Crunchiest Role has it, yeah.
I'm on season 2 of Mob Psycho now, though.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. You like it?
Yeah,
I like it.
Talk a little about that, because someone was asking us if we were going to continue watching, I think, Mob Psycho.
I've continued watching it because my son, sometimes before I have the courage to put him in his bassinet, I like to hold him and make sure that he's super duper asleep, because if I put him down and he wakes up, it ruins my whole life.
Gotcha.
Picture this at like 2 a.m. So while I'm waiting for him to like truly fall asleep, I'll usually put on anime because I can just put it with the sound like super low or zero because Mary's in the room sleeping too. So I could just read the subtitles and like watch that while I make sure that he's truly down.
I thought you were going to say it's because if you piss off your son to like 100, if he gets to like 100 aggression meter, he blows up and it's really scary.
Yeah, that happens too.
It sounds more like your son is like any baby where their aggression meter is more like 3. And like if you upset them a little bit, then they just cry until you break down as a person.
Yeah.
If I understand fatherhood accurately.
You've got it.
Cool. Well, do you like it? Do you feel like it's slowed down a lot? Like I always feel like TV after like 7 episodes, it's like boring as fuck.
I think the first season ended really well. And I'm not too far into the second season, so I'm not totally sure where it's going yet, but I really like Mob as a character. And like they're diving deeper into like the people around him now, and it's cool.
Cool. Yeah, that's been one of those things that's part of the we will continue watching you, at least in my mind, things that I am open to continuing to watch. Mob Psycho.
Yeah.
Is there.
Yeah. Open to it.
I like that theme song. I know the beginning's a little annoying because you're like, are you really going to count all the way to 100? But the music itself is just good. One thing though, I just mentioned the length of TV shows, but I did like about Read or Die that I love the pacing of a 3-episode OVA. Like it just moves. There's no filler. There's no time to stop. And unfortunately, this should have been like, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes taking some time to be like, oh, hey, here's what's going on.
Because
this felt like, here's a cold open, because it literally has a cold open. And then you think like, okay, at some point they're going to stop and be like, here's who we are. Here's how these powers work. But that never comes. at the end, it should just be like, go to Wikipedia. I feel like if we lived in times where we actually cared about like the physical like newspaper, I could be like, Jackie, I'm going to go get the paper. And I would go out to our doorstep and pick up like, the New York Times or something. Who can afford the New York Times?
I get it on my Kindle.
Oh, how much is that?
It's like
$3 a month or something.
Bucks a month.
That's so many bucks.
That's a lot of bucks.
Other news is free. If you just go to CNN, it's like right there. You want to read these like columnists that say dumb shit like columnists. Young people whine.
No, I never read the columnists.
That's a good idea. All right, we're done with two episodes of my thoughts. I feel like you guys are all done with your thoughts. I have a few more notes. One thing I liked, another minor detail, was when they're in the airplane or helicopter and they're flying over the fortress during the last episode. I don't know about you two, but I was like, that thing's definitely blowing up or something.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And of course it does, because why are you flying that close to this fucking thing anyway? But
why are they sending only two people on this? Because like,
they only have two
mission.
People. They only yeah. have two. They had three, and one of them turned out to be an asshole. And they were like, shit, we have the paper girl, and that guy can at least hold a grenade launcher that I don't think he uses. But anyway, the pilot dies. The two of them escape okay. And what's his name? Drake is talking to Command using his like earpiece. In the background, Yomiko is praying. Like she has her hands together. I think she's like praying for the pilot that just blew up, which I thought was nice. Because Drake says, like, we're okay. I feel bad for the pilot.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. I think it's funny that this show kind of uses Ronald Reagan's Star Wars initiative. Because the Americans, the president freaks out and shoots all these rockets at the fortress that came out of the ocean. And the fortress has these pink laser beams that shoot all the rockets out of the sky. And in the 80s, that was one of Ronald Reagan's things was the... It was called Star Wars, nicknamed after the movies, obviously. And it was supposed to be a laser grid that would shoot down missiles. And I think it was just a big bunch of waste of money and a failure, but I don't know.
It was a huge waste of money.
Yeah. Oh, I was just playing down Drake's powers like he's just a guy who can hold a gun. But at one point, he's fighting that big mechanical insect and he just like rips part of its metal like tooth off and shoves it into the robot. And I was like,
Oh, really?
So he's super strong, I guess?
Okay.
I did not know about that.
Drake Anderson.
They use the RoboCop skirt trick, which I guess this ancient philosopher guy never took the time to watch the 1987 best movie of all time, RoboCop, which is where there's a scene where these two thugs are taking a woman hostage, and the woman has a skirt, and they're doing the old, I'm behind a woman, but I got a weapon. And RoboCop shoots her in the skirt, and you think, like, did the cop just shoot the woman? But it goes through her skirt, through her legs, and into the mugger guy's penis. And so at the end of this show...
that's not what happens here.
Well, but Miss Deep is like, I'm shooting my friend. You know, that's what she wants the bad guy to think. And so she shoots through the skirt. So
and then she fucking go deep dives into his heart and pull... and. Stops it.
Yeah, that was fucked up. That was pretty metal.
It's because he was her love, and so she was like, fuck up your heart.
She's like,
you fucked up mine.
Yeah, it's very poetic. And the last thing is, I don't know how Yomiko knew that the pipe above the samurai guy had liquid nitrogen in it. Was there like a thing I missed? Was there like an insert shot where she's like, I read up there that is liquid nitrogen?
Lucky guess.
She's fighting the samurai guy, and he's like gaining on her, and he's about to kill her, and he's like, is this the end? And then she's like, no, this is the end. And she throws a dollar, because they're paper and they're weapons to her. She throws it at a pipe above him, and it rains all this liquid. He freezes and then breaks apart. And that was cool, but I was just like, how the fuck? She never stops and explains it. The show does not care. It's like, we don't have time. We gotta go. They only
Things
gave us three.
Are happening.
We have to go. We're hoping this will work itself into a TV show, but right now we don't have time. Listeners, I don't care what you care. Look at these boobs. We took the time to draw these boobs. You don't need to know about the plot. And you know what? You're right.
Yep.
It was cool. It was fun. I liked this.
I liked it a lot. But
it was fun.
Also,
I didn't love it.
I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I wish I would like it more if I understood it more.
I'm a lot happier now having read who the Ijin are, that they're like clone robots of famous historical figures. So much more makes sense to me.
Oh, actually, that kind of isn't that the plot of Clone High?
I am not familiar.
Clone High was an MTV show.
They're not evil though, right?
No, they're nice. They're clones of famous historical figures like Gandhi and Cleopatra and stuff. But they're teenagers and they all go to high school together. And it's like a cartoon high school drama. And I think it was on MTV.
It was a good show.
Yeah. And the animation was cool, too.
Yeah, it was on MTV in the U.S. and Teletoon in Canada. Clone High. All right, I think that wraps it up for us. This has been our coverage of the Read or Die OVA. Maybe we'll watch some of the TV show. But if Misdeep isn't in it, I boycott and riot inside our apartment because we're not leaving the...
I like her a lot.
Yeah. I like Yomiko too, though, so that's good.
Yeah.
Miles, do you have any final thoughts?
No. Okay.
I also want to know why.
What?
Like, why? Why books?
Well, we may never know.
All right.
I feel like if we watch one or two episodes of the TV show, one will be like, okay, they fixed it. They figured out this time.
Yeah. Anyway. How to explain, how to start it off.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, everyone. Follow us on Twitter and Twitch and wherever else. If you go to whatever.com/JJBpod, that's where you'll find that. And if you have any thoughts on this Read or Die or the Rohan OVAs, or are we going to watch Rohan next week, Miles, or did you want to watch the thing you mentioned?
We can watch Rohan next week.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to watch the Rohan OVAs in the coming weeks. I don't think that we have anything else on the docket. So that will be At a Confessional and The Run. If you have any thoughts on those Rohan one-shots, we'll be back to JoJo's for the next 2 weeks. Yippee. Hooray. You can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. Other than that... I can't tell you what to do, so
yeah,
the world is your oyster, everybody.
Stay safe, everyone.
Be safe.
Be safe. Wash your butt.
Yep. Wash your hands.
Yep.